This is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey there, this is Chris Abraham, Chris Abraham Show, Season 6, Episode 29, 29, 29. My name's Chris Abraham. This is the second episode of the day because I want to dedicate a short episode to my love affair with the Lenovo X220. Now, I had an X200, I had an X210, then I got an X220 when I went to work at Reputation.com, and I never gave it back because my love was too deep. Even when they asked for it, I said, I dodged it, I got to keep it. But ever since, that was the last great mechanical laptop keyboard on a device with a red nipple pointer. So, in a perfect world, all laptops would have mechanical keyboards and red nipple pointers. Alas, only ThinkPads have, I believe, red nipple pointers. And only Lenovo's have. And only X200s, X210s, X220s had with the last line of mechanical keyboards. So I have one in my backpack now that has a big hard drive, and it's really pretty awesome, and I was really excited to be using it, and a couple days ago it started sputtering and zipping and zapping, and the screen kind of went and it's begun its death rattle of restarting. So the good news is a couple days ago I ordered another one off of eBay. This one had 250K solid-state drive, which is acceptable, and I ordered also 16 gigs of RAM, and I have batteries and chargers and stuff, so that doesn't matter to me, and I have a backup at home, which I'm going to get, so I am off now, because I'm feeling relatively flush for hours. I am meandering over directly post-haste to the suite to a local computer repair company, and they worked on my machine before, and I like spending money on local repair shops. I think they charge $80 or $90, and that's less than the $100 that it costs for me to get a new machine. So I will throw this laptop at them. I just changed my password from my double secret password to password lowercase so that they can work on it. And I'll also give them my Linux Mint install thumb drive, and I guess if they need the charger, and I'll let them go at it. And I will go home, I will recover an exact duplicate. I do think this exact duplicate only has a 125 gigs. I think this one has a 500 gig hard drive, a terabyte hard drive. I don't know. It's a terabyte hard drive. And I'll just use that one. That's perfectly acceptable too. I figured out that one must keep everything in the cloud, especially when one isn't in a proprietary or privacy-addled world. I live in a world where everything that I do can be equal or bettered by an AI overlord or by someone who has the time to do the work that I do. I have efficiencies and experience and expertise and knowledge, and I can do what you would spend months learning to do, but what I do isn't rocket science, and even rocket science has entire courses for doing rocket science, so even rocket science isn't rocket science, and brain surgery isn't just procedure, experience, and expertise. Nobody keeps brain surgery proprietary. I'm sure if you dug deep enough, you would be able to find pretty good instructions on how to do brain surgery. We require experience and expertise, but it isn't black boxed. It's not black box like how to make a nuclear bomb or how to make thermite. I don't know. all the things that are in the anarchist cookbook that now are even removed from AI so that the guardrails didn't allow you to make thermite or C4 or nuclear bombs or whatever. But you get pretty close, right, with open source classes from MIT and so forth. And SEO is the same thing. They try to make it into some sort of proprietary thing by saying, we are the inside track to algorithmic updates. But honestly, if you just took best practices from 1998 Google in terms of backlink abuse and best practices and ADA compliance and image alts and titles and descriptions and probably even best practices with regards to SEO keywords. Then if you were to do best practices in terms of copy and usefulness and copy density and all that other fun stuff, then you'd freaking rock. You like committed to Google business pages and committed to content marketing and committed to sharing blog roles with your friends and had a content that had content that was that had enough juice and enough interest and enough usefulness. If you were able to give till it hurts in terms of creating content that was desirable for other people to link to and share, if you offered sharing tools on all your pages that allowed you to quickly link to LinkedIn or X or Twitter or Facebook or Threads or Reddit and so forth. Like, if you really committed to becoming an integral part of the larger corpus known as the web, then all you knew was what you knew back in the day when you were a kiddo, 1998, you'd be good to go. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel. The only reinventing that SEO companies offer you is the newest way of trying to trick Google. The only way that Google requires you to become completely savvy in current and immediate algorithm updates is in order to try to foil them, right? Right. The only reason to be completely up to date on the technologies of safes is to either make sure that you can develop a safe that can avoid incursion or breaking, or you're really interested in how to break in and save with saves. I carry around an infinity of lockpicks, not because I'm a lockpicker, but because I don't want to pay the $75-$80 fee to get it back into my apartment. But while 80% of all locks are easy to foil with a simple rake and Torsen bar, which they never show on TV and cinema. Nobody ever uses a torsion bar. People only kind of stick things in the lock and kind of go jiggle, 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 wiggle, 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 and then the door opens. But there's never a torsion bar to kind of torsion the lock open. Apparently Hollywood has figured out that that is just a bridge too far, and that you're only allowed to go jiggle, jiggle, rake, 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 wiggle, wiggle, rake, 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 and there's never any tension or torsion that would, in fact, turn the key with any kind of torsion that one would normally use with a key. When you insert a key, you twist it, right? Never when they go ahead and show a lock being picked does anybody turn a key or do the equivalent. The torsion bar is the equivalent of torsioning the key. Everybody knows that you torsion a key. You torque a key, and that's what opens the door. That's what unlocks the lock. So, very tricky. Very, very tricky. So, I think lock picking is super easy. Makes perfect sense in my head. I get every component of it, even without having any level of fantasia, of hyperfantasia, being able to visualize it, because I understand how it works. I've got friends who I fancy are smart, are completely, I just assume anybody who shows such logical incompetence to be, like, tricking me, like, One guy in particular, I think, is a double secret spook. And I assume he's a maestro with the lockpicks. So I just think when he's like, I can't figure out how to unlock this lock using lockpicks. I just assume he's faking it so as to have an effect on my understanding of his comfort using lockpicks. But I gave him a gift of an entire lockpick set and a transparent key, like a transparent padlock. Hey, I'm not going in yet. Too early. See you later. But it just baffles him. So maybe all these things that I say are completely simplistic. But I mean simplistic, but I can also say simple. Hey, good. How are you? It's amazing. I'm just lumbering along. Good luck to you, sir. Maybe these things that are completely simple to me, this is the way the world works, right? If you're good at something or a type of thing, it seems so simple that you think, well, I don't know if I can really build for this. Like a chimpanzee can do it, but it's not always the case. It's oftentimes not the case. Although I might not be the perfect guy to preen someone covered with body hair and eat their yummy little buggy buggies, and I might not be very good at using a twig to collect ants or what are they called? Termites out of a mound so as to eat. It might be because I'm not driven by hunger to eat ants or termites. On that note, a bonobo I am not. But guess what's really simple for bonobos? Climbing right up a tree, sleeping in branches, completely living comfortably in a world where the woods and the jungles are your home, and you're as likely to go X, Y, or Z in terms of spatial relations. I'm very X, Y in terms of not even wanting to climb stairs or do any altitude, do any of that kind of stuff. So in terms of that, forget about that. But I'm within sight distance of the computer repair store, and I'm extremely happy. What is it called? I'm going to share that with you. Because once I get there, the episode is over, and hopefully we're able to diagnose what the overheating is or what the restarting is or what the issue is, and then I'll be able to not have to buy another laptop, but be able to recover this one. They are familiar with this box because I wanted them to add a larger hard drive and also a secondary SSD. So I did that, and hopefully they're familiar with it, so I'm pretty excited about it. It's called Logic Computer Solutions. Logic Computer Solutions. And they have a sign right here that says, "Stop bombing kids in Gaza," which is always a good idea. I wish they had those bombs that didn't affect kids. It says, "Reparamos teléfonos, iPads, computer, tablets y más." Muy bien, muy bien. Anyway, my friends, it's called maybe Wireless RXX. Wireless RXX. Buy, sell, repair, we fix anything but relationships. That's good, because I'm terrible with relationships. Mis amigos, je t'aime, and I'll talk to you soon. Hope you guys are doing super well, and thanks for being part of episode number 29, and I'll talk to you soon. Mahalo, ciao, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.